Welcome to the weekly podcast of Upper Room Christian Fellowship in Lincoln, Nebraska. Thank you for listening.
We're going to look at Matthew's accounts. So if you have your Bibles, you want to turn with me to Matthew chapter 28. And if you would, stand for the reading of the Word of God. Starting in verse 1. Now, after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door. And then he sat on it. His countenance was like lightning and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him. Became like dead men. And the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and ran to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, "Rejoice!" So they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, there where I will see them." Now while they were going, behold, some of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priests all the things that had happened. When they assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers, saying, "Tell them his disciples came at night and stole him away while they slept. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will appease him and make you secure." So they took the money and did as they were instructed. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you again for this day. This is the day that you have made. This is the day, Lord, that all of us rejoice in. For without this, there is nothing to believe in. There is no truth to hold on to. But because we know the facts and we know the truth, Lord, we have been set free. We just pray, Lord, your blessing upon our time as we look into your word. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I mentioned him a few sermons ago. I'm going to mention him again. No, I'm not a big Elvis fan, but I was somewhat. My sister was in love with him, so we had to watch his movies all the time. But he had a song, and the song was "All Shook Up." Now, this basically was one of the songs that catapulted him to stardom. It was on the charts for several weeks, number one for 9 weeks. And if you're not too familiar with the song, it's basically about a boy that's so in love with this girl that he's all shook up. In fact, one of the lines is, "My hands are shaking, my knees are weak, I can't seem to stand on my own two feet. I'm all shook up." Oh. If you will, we're going to see a lot of shaking going on here. It's like God was trying to get humanity's attention. Now, if you remember, we've kind of covered this last Friday. But it happened when Jesus died on the cross. If you want to, you can turn back. I'm going to look at verse 54 real quick. "And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked, shook, and the rocks were split, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the graves after the resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. So when the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, they feared greatly, saying, 'Truly, this was the Son of God.'" Now, if you go down further, we'll look at this. Look at verse 62. "On the next day, which followed the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered together to Pilate, saying, 'Sir, we remember while he was still alive how this deceiver said, 'After 3 days, I will rise again.' Therefore command that the tomb be made secure until the third day, lest the disciples come by night and steal him away, and say to the people, he has risen from the dead. So the last deception will be worse than the first. And Pilate said to them, you have a guard, go your way, make it as secure as you know how. So they went and made the tomb secure, sealing the stone and setting the guard. It's interesting that the Pharisees and the chief priests understood what Jesus meant, that after 3 days he was going to rise again from the dead. In fact, if you will, they already set it up, saying if the disciples come and steal the body, we have the story covered here. He said, Pilate, you have a guard, a Roman guard, which was 16 soldiers, 16 of the elite soldiers. Why? Because they were Romans. They knew if they fell asleep on the job, it was curtains for them. The tomb was sealed with a Roman seal. If that seal was broken, again, whoever breaks that seal would be put to death. It's secure as it could have been. And yet, these mighty guards, these Roman soldiers that feared nothing, we find that they do fear. Now look at verse 1. Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. We'll talk about this a little later. And behold, there was a great earthquake, another shaking. For an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door. Now, John's account said that the stone was taken away. We've gone over this many times on Easter, but see, it's in a groove. And it was basically, if you will, a semi-round stone. And they would take the wedge out and they would roll it in place to block the entrance to the tomb. But see, these tombs, we find out that Mark says it was a very large, because it could have been a small one, which would have been about a ton. But this, Mark says it was a very large stone, so it was probably a couple tons. What does that mean? It means, gang, it would take at least 16 to 20 men just to move the stone. But the earth shook, and it's like God took that little stone and put it over here just for everybody to look at, for you and I to say, wow, it wasn't just rolled back. God took it out of the way. Now notice something here. The countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow, and the guards shook with fear. The earth quakes, the earth shook. The guards are shaking now in their boots. They shook so much that they fainted. They became as dead men. Tough, tough soldiers. Now, let's drop the account of the women for now. We'll get back to them. Look at verse 11. Now, while they were going, behold, some of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priests all the things that had happened. Notice it's just some of the soldiers, not all of them, because they all shook, but only some came. Now, there's a lot of questions about this. One, I will give you my thought. And the thought is that some of them didn't want to bother with it. They wanted to forget what they saw as soon as they saw it. This is out of the ordinary. We're soldiers. We do deal with blood, guts, and glory. That's it. We don't know anything about this stuff. We want nothing to do with this stuff. Plus, they also knew something else. We just ran away from that which we were guarding. We are curtains. Who knows if they were running for their lives? Who knows if they were just running from the tomb and they just couldn't stop? Don't know, but some of them did come to the Pharisees and the chief priests. And they, again, wanted an answer, probably. Like, hey, this is beyond us. We don't know what happened here. This is what we saw. What do you make of it? Tell us something that can comfort us. Because, again, we're soldiers. Blood, guts, glory. That's all we know. Now we're shaken to the core. We're not afraid of anything, but we're terrified. Tell us. Give us something to comfort us. Again, notice what the Pharisees told them, the chief priests. They just say that the disciples came and stole him at night while you fell asleep. You were just asleep. And you must have been hallucinating. The angel and everything else wasn't there. Really what happened was the disciples came and they moved the stone, took Jesus' body out, and you were sleeping at the time. Now let's think this through. Again, this is what people think. And it's interesting. God puts this all down. Historians have admitted, secular too, that the tomb was empty. Now they come up with all these discussions that it was the wrong tomb. Well, that's funny because then the guards were guarding the wrong tomb. What's funny too is they sealed the wrong tomb, and guess what? The stone was moved. It's all, again, you have to put all these things down to figure it out for themselves, but a logical person will come to the conclusion that it's wrong. The stone was removed by a supernatural force. Can you imagine? Just picture 11 disciples, faces covered in black coal because they didn't want to be seen at night. They had to sneak past elite guards, 16 of them. Four of them definitely standing by the tomb. Now, how are we going to get them away from the tomb? You can just hear them talking about it. Peter going, this is a tough decision. John goes, let's just go in there and just start doing, moving them things and just calling fire down from heaven. James says, oh, that's not right. Let's think this through. Peter goes, look, I got a sword. Yeah, but there's 16 of them and there's only 11 of us. And then we got to get past them. And now we can't move it. There's only 11 of us. I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll get the guards to help us. Sure, they'll help us move the stone. See how silly this is? But this is what the world wants you to think. This is what the world wants you to believe. Why? Because this is shaking us up. Something happened here. A man that was dead, blood coming through, water through his side, he was dead. Romans, who were experts at death, knew he was dead. He was dead, dead, dead. And they put him in a tomb. And they buried him in the tomb with a heavy stone. Then they put guards in front of him. And now you're telling us we fell asleep. And yet for money, maybe it was plausible. Maybe this is all a dream. Maybe we just don't really want to look into it. We have no record whether any of these guards came to faith. But that's not the sad part. The sad part is the Pharisees and the chief priests. They knew what was going to happen. And then it does happen. Oh, do they investigate it to find out if these things are true? Did they go, wow, something supernatural happened here. Did God really move? Did they investigate it to find out if these things were true? Or were they just looking for anything to smother it and just say, there's a natural explanation? Sounds like humanity today, doesn't it? There's those that don't want to think about it. And it's interesting. I've met guys that are manly men, except when you talk about death. Don't want to go there. Not even something to think about. Then there's those that actually see, but they're terrified what it means to their life, that it's blood, guts, and glory. It's me, again, making decisions and making the right decisions with a sword. Not something thrown at me that I have to actually contemplate and think. That there's something beyond me in life and death. Because if I start thinking that way, what am I going to do when I come to the enemy with my sword? Am I going to start thinking of his soul? Am I going to think of my soul? I can't think of death. Once I start thinking of death, I become weak. And when I become weak, then my life becomes nothing. That's why you have so many people that like to test life and death. By jumping off cliffs with those winged things, I still do not get that. Or jumping off a bridge with a bungee cord. Who does that? Why? It makes no sense to me. Now, you may like it. You may think it's great. Have at it. Not me. I like the ground. I like to walk on it. Unless the plane, I trust the plane. My dad was a pilot. They fly. I get that. But just to test death, and you see it more and more today. It makes them, they say, feel alive until, like the famous gut lighter, hit the side of a wall and died. And they face death. That's the reality for all of us. But still, if you will, the sadder part are the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The evidence is laid out before them, but they still have to look for something else. It can't be this. Anything but this. It doesn't go away the way we believe. See, when somebody is set in the ways they believe, it's awful hard to change their mind. It's come from the heart. In fact, one atheist, actually going back to them, one atheist says, even if Jesus came physically in front of me, I still would not believe him. See, that's somebody who does not want to believe. No way. It means change of life, change of thought, change of mindset. I don't want anything to do with that. But you know, in the reality of all this, I want you to know something. That in the end, as John wrote, I looked when he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great shaking, great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood, and the stars of heaven fell to the earth as a fig tree drops its late figs when it's shaken by a mighty wind. Then the sky receded as a scroll when it's rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave, every free man, hid themselves in the caves, in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, listen, fall on us, hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath has come. Who is able to stand? God shook the earth when Christ died, ripped the veil in two into his holy of holies, saying all men may enter in through him who died on the cross, that you are welcomed into my presence. And then again at the tomb, an earthquake happens. Again, to shake the world and say, he's risen, he's alive. Just as we've been singing, he's alive, he's risen. Regardless of what you feel right now, regardless of what you're going through right now, regardless of the physical world that holds us to this ground, gravity really does work, it sucks. But the truth of the matter is this, that there is something beyond the grave, there's something beyond your thought. And yet God still says, come, let's reason together. Let's talk this thing out. I want to be real in your life. But you have to keep looking towards me to think these things. So, fact, if you will, now let's get back to the lady. Look at verse 5. But the angel answered and said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. That word, be afraid, it means struck with fear and amazement. They were shook too, but the right way. They were struck with the truth that they have now witnessed. I see that you seek. And that word means in order to find. You came here seeking your Lord. You came here with an open heart. You came and you're going to find. Because you know that's the way it is. If you seek me, Jesus said, you will find me. When you search for me with your whole heart, he says in Jeremiah 29:13. Do you seek me for who I am, or do you seek me to find the body, find some hole, some loophole? You know, it's been said many times that W.C. Fields was found reading the Bible. If you don't know who W.C. Fields is, again, I'm showing my age, but he was a media actor from many years ago. This guy used to talk like this. Anyway, he was found reading the Bible, and he was very much a pagan. And somebody said to him, W.C. Fields, you're reading the Bible? And he says, yeah, looking for loopholes. Some other way out. Some way to disprove. Some way so I do not have to stand before him and say, oh my. You are real. But those that seek will find me. Now, the sad part about it, he said this to the Pharisees. He said, I shall be with you a little while longer, and then I will go to him who sent me. And you will seek me and not find me. Where I am, you cannot come. He said that to them because he knew that they'd be seeking him for the wrong reasons. They want to find his body. Now think with me, if this really did happen, all they had to do was find the body and Ruth was up. And they never found the body. Why? Because it's not there. And the Jews to this day still say, they stole the body. All they do is find the body. We have the problem too with the disciples. The world changed because the earth shook. There's going to come a mighty wind. A mighty wind that's going to happen some days after this. A mighty wind that's going to shake the upper room. And the church is going to be born. From that birth comes life. And from life comes a new world. See, the problem that the world has with us as believers is this. We understand what's going to happen. Man keeps seeking answers within themselves are going to be disappointed constantly. But what is in that heart of man is evil. But see, Jesus came to change that. Jesus came to make it all brand new inside us. We understand that heaven is with him. The world is trying to find heaven on earth. And if you don't have a righteous heart, there's no heaven. Now look at verse 6. He is not here. He is risen as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. They watched Joseph of Arimathea put him in the tomb. It was the right tomb, gang. See, he was there. But again, notice he says, as he said it several times to them, that this is what's going to happen. Understand that I must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed. And after 3 days, I'll rise again. He told this to them several times, as he said. Now notice verse 7. Now go quickly and tell his disciples that he's risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now again, this is what happened. Jesus told his disciples, I will meet you in Galilee. I will see you in Galilee. But notice they got out of the tomb quickly. Wouldn't you? I mean, I always had this thing. There's a time that we'd walk through, you know, when you're a teenager, you'd do shortcuts. There was this one cemetery we had, and we would cut through it sometimes at night. And it's always that thought, okay, we're getting through this thing as fast as we can. You know a teenager's mind, especially after you saw Carrie. Now, you probably don't know Carrie, but there's this one scene where this hand grabs this guy's ankle as he's walking through the cemetery. So everybody's always thinking that. That's what's going to happen. So you get out of there quickly. Nobody wants to stay in a cemetery. Now, I know there's those odd people. I know there are those that enjoy sitting in a cemetery. Now, please don't misunderstand me. If you have a loved one and you go there and you spend time there, even have a picnic right there, I understand that. But you don't see people going, hey, I know, let's go have a picnic. I know where. Let's go to the cemetery. It's quiet there. Nobody's getting out. No, nobody goes there. It's not a place of pleasure. It's a place of remembrance and mourning. These women, like you and me, they just wanted to get out of there quickly. Now look at verse 9 again. And they went out quickly, look at verse 8, from the tomb with fear and great joy, trembling again, all shook up with great joy, great fear. They ran to bring his disciples the word. And then, as they went out to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met with them saying, rejoice. Now stop. Now, there are some people that have a problem with the Gospels because they keep saying these things and they kind of overlap with each other. Okay? And this is one of those instances. Why? Because Mark tells us that in his gospel, he says the women were afraid to go tell the disciples. Why? Because a woman's word was worth nothing at this time. Wouldn't stay in a court of law. A witness of a woman? Nope. Another true fact, gang. If this was all manufactured, if this was written by some man's mind, he would not have women be the first ones that gave testimony for Jesus rising from the dead. Wouldn't be. Now, let's kind of get through this a little bit. Okay, so if you put them all together, Mary Magdalene and the women, there was more than just Mary and Mary Magdalene. There were several women, and they were going to the tomb. Mary apparently was ahead of them. A little more anxious to them, she got to the tomb first. She looked in, saw it was empty. She ran past the other ladies, going to the disciples. The women go in there. They see the angel. Angel says, just like we're hearing now, fear not, go tell my disciples. They go back. But, see, the thing is, until they go towards the disciples, but still they're afraid. What will the disciples say? They were probably thinking. They're going to think we're nuts. Should we really go tell them? We got to tell them. That's what the angel said. Though they ran out of there quickly, they kind of went off course a little bit. Meantime, Peter and John, they run to the tomb. What do they find in the tomb? Grave clothes. What were the grave clothes looking like? As if a body just disappeared from them. And the wrappings just kind of condensed a little where a body was. And then, again, God again putting that little twist in things. What covered his face was folded up neatly and put in a different place. Why? Why would John say that? Well, simply, okay, let's steal the body, but let's take the wrappings off. Wait a minute, let's do it the quick way. You hold on to one end, I'll hold on the other, and we'll pull them out real quick, just like a tablecloth. And then after that, hey, get that, fold that up, John. That looks messy. We don't want to leave a messy tomb. What would they think of us? See, God has this all covered for those with a thinking mind to think, wow, he really did rise from the dead. See, then Jesus comes to the women that are afraid and he says, rejoice. So they came and held his feet. He was bodily resurrected. See that little note right there? Because see, people said, nah, it was just spiritual. They just saw ghosts. No. They saw him. They grabbed on to him. And Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Don't be shook up. Go tell my brethren. Go to Galilee. There you will see me. Go. Go into all the world. Tell them what you know. And behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Don't be afraid. They're going to think you're nuts. They're going to think you're crazy. Think you're whacked out. But go tell them the truth. As you've seen, as you've held me, as you know, I've conquered death. I'm alive. I'm alive forevermore. Don't fear. Don't be afraid. Now, if you remember at the birth of Jesus, some angels came to the shepherds. And the angels said, do not be afraid. Don't tremble. Don't be shook up. I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Stop. Good news. Born to you this day, the Lamb of God, who has come into this world to die for you as the Savior of the world. You don't deserve it. None of you do. But God now has come, Emmanuel, to shake up the world so that they may see the truth that Jesus Christ is alive, that Jesus Christ is in love. In love with you. In love with me. Fear not, he would go on to say, little flock, for it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Good news. Good news. But see, again, it comes down to each of us. And it really, if you will, it is a day of rejoicing. Please, if nothing else, hold on to that. Hold on to it dearly, both hands if you must. If you're going through something, know something. He sees you. He knows what you're going through. But he says, fear not. Don't be shook up. I've overcome the world. Don't be shook up. I'm with you. Wherever you go, I'm with you. Don't be shook up. For soon you will be with me forever and ever, where there will be nothing to shake you again. For you will be standing on and living in the rock, me. What's your questions this morning? What's your struggles? What are you still contemplating in that keeps you up at night? Are you holding on? Are you shook up for the right reasons of joy, tremendous joy, that he does see you and he does care for you? Or are you still holding back, saying, until I can put my finger in those holes in his hand like Thomas, put my fist in his side, then I'll believe. Will you? Blessed Thomas, he did. But the atheist wouldn't. Or are you rejoicing this morning, knowing my God reigns forever and ever, and I'm alive with him in Christ Jesus? And all the world and every knee will bow and every tongue will confess Jesus Christ is Lord. To the glory to the Father, he reigns. And because that tomb is empty, my life has meaning. Because that tomb is empty, he's filled my heart. And the joy that I have, though sometimes it seems so fleeting, it's real because it comes back powerfully. I understand it's not based on my circumstances. It's based on the circumstance, the cross, the tomb, my heart. See, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You have been saved. You are saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Good news. I bring you good news. He's risen. And because he's risen, my heart rises. And I found something that I will never let go. Not that I'm so strong. No, because he's so strong. He's got me. He holds me. He says he holds you. The glorious, glorious joy of the resurrection morning that happens every day, not just this. Where are you in your faith right now? Are you like with Joel, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near the valley of decision, and the sun and the moon will grow dark. The stars will diminish their brightness. The Lord will also roar with Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem. The heavens and the earth will shake. But the Lord will be a shelter for his people and the strength for his children. Are you in the valley? Or are you on the mountaintop? It all depends on what you are seeking when you look to the Lord. Are you seeking for an explanation? Or are you seeking him? Let's pray. Father, just thank you for this morning. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for rising again from the dead. Thank you that you've given us life and you've given us purpose. Thank you for the truth of your word. Your word sets us free. Father, just thank you for, again, a joyous time together to remember these things. And Lord, my prayer is for those that still have not made that commitment. I pray, Father, that you would right now convict their hearts, but help them to see, why do they seek you? Why? Is it for insurance? Or for life? Lord, I just pray for those that they would make that decision today. And for us who are following you, Lord, I pray that this would awaken inside each of us a fire to be those that would be followers of you, sharing the truth of Jesus Christ to this dying, dark world. That their lives would be shaken up in a good way, shaken to see the God that loves them, the God that sent His Son to die for them, the Son that went willingly, hanging on that cross because of love. And it's because of that grace that we all have received from that, Lord, that we've been called children of God. So let me ask you, have you received Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you're not walking with Him as you should? Then I'm going to give you a choice, a chance, I should say. Right now, you can make that commitment. Oh, it's not the save all, serve all, that's it, do all. But it is a step in the right direction. And then what you do with it after that is really ultimately up to you. Every day we all have to ask, why am I seeking you, Lord? So I ask you, is that your heart's desire this morning? To make a commitment to Him. To say, I see you, Lord, and I desire to have that relationship with you. If that's your desire this morning, then if you will, if you notice, don't notice, but everybody's head is down, eyes are closed. I'm the only one looking right now. I want to pray for you. If that's your desire, that's your will, then raise your hand. God bless you. Anyone else this morning? Come on, you know. God bless you. God bless you. You know the truth. It's still not changing who you are. Anyone else? Then let me pray for those who have raised their hand. God bless you. God bless you. Even those that are still a little timid, desire to raise their hand, but you're afraid of what those would say around you. Pray for you. Father, you see these hands better than I do. You know their hearts. Lord, I pray, Jesus, that the truth of your gospel message would be so strong in their hearts as they receive you truly as their Lord and Savior. I pray, Lord, that you would shake their lives, shake it in a good way, that they would begin to understand what it means to go before you with reverence, joy, and love. I pray that you would work in their hearts, Lord, to prove that you have a plan for them and that you desire, Lord, to move and live through them. And that they just have to continually, just as all of us, desire for you to reign in our hearts, to seek you for the right reasons daily. Bless them, Lord, as they've made this decision. And I pray, Father, that you would help them continue to grow. Now, if you raised your hand, or even if you didn't, just say this prayer. You can say it out loud, but say it in your heart. Lord Jesus, forgive me for my sin. I know I have failed. I know I'm a sinner. I desire to know you in a different way. That you would come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. That I, Lord, would have the courage to walk with you daily, seeking you for the right reason, and understanding that you conquered death. I thank you for this new beginning. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.